Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
A man called the church office and said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. And the secretary said, who? And he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. And she realized who he was asking for. So she said, sir, if you're asking for our pastor, you can refer to him as the reverend or as pastor, but you can't call him the head hog at the trough. And the guy said, oh, I see. Well, I wanted to talk to him because I was thinking about giving a $10,000 donation to the church. And the secretary said, hold the line. I think the big pig just walked in. Well, churches often are blessed when they get large gifts. But the reality is, that's pretty rare. Most churches survive on the tithes and offerings of their members. And we often think that that's sort of a new invention, that was kind of invented when denominations came along and churches were building buildings and they had to support the buildings and that sort of thing. But actually, the idea of giving tithes and offerings goes all the way back to Bible times. In fact, in the Old Testament, the people gave their tithes and offerings in order to support the temple. And so, get out your bulletin if you would, and I'd like us to look at our first lesson from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 6. And God is saying through the prophet Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And God says, will a mere man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. The needs of the priests and the Levites in those days were met by the sacrifices that were brought to the temple by the people, as well as the tithes and the offerings. Now, the word tithe in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word that means ten. And the people were required to give a tenth of their grain, of their produce, of their animals, or of their money. And so as they did so, as they gave that, they were doing so in obedience to the law. And if they didn't want to carry a heavy load of grain, or if they didn't want to carry the produce all the way there, they could sell it and give the money to the temple, but they had to add 20% so that they wouldn't take the risk of robbing God. And so the annual tithe went to the Levites in the temple. And the Levites then gave a portion of that to the priests. And the priests then were able to share a special meal with their families along with the Levites. About once every 3 years, the tithe was used to help meet needs of the poor in the area. Tithing was an act of worship as old as Abraham. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who was a priest. And Melchizedek, it says, was the representative of the Most High God. So in a sense, Abraham was giving his tithe to God through the priest Melchizedek. We also read about Jacob giving a tithe as well. So these two things precede or predate the giving of the law. But when the law came along, the Jews incorporated this idea of tithing into the law as well as a part of Israel's worship. And so in bringing the tithes and the offerings, they were not only helping to support the temple, but they were also expressing their thanksgiving, their gratitude to God for all that God had provided for them. So over the centuries, many of the Jews committed errors related to the tithe. The legalistic Jews went way above tithing. They tithed on everything, including the herbs that they grew, which they were not required to tithe on, thinking that by doing that, they would be gaining a righteousness from God. The other end of the spectrum were the irreligious people who really didn't give anything to the support of the temple, or certainly didn't give a tithe, and as a result, the ministry of the temple was not as successful as it could have been. And so we see that when Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, he found that the temple granaries were empty. And the people brought their grain and their produce, they stored it in some rooms in the temple. And Nehemiah found that these granaries in the temple were empty, and there was no money in the temple as well. And he also discovered that the priests and the Levites went back home. time, they were no longer doing the ministry of worship in the temple because they had to go home to support themselves by working in their fields. And so as a result of that, there was not anything left in the temple. The people had vowed to bring their tithes and offerings, but they had failed to do so. Now we have to recognize that since God owns everything and God made everything, that God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our tithes and offerings. And so when we give something, we're not giving something that God actually needs. We read about that in Acts chapter 17. But when we obey His word and bring our gifts as an act of worship with grateful hearts, I believe God is pleased. It pleases Him for us to give as we have decided in our hearts to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 suggests that proportionate giving is the way to give, as God has prospered us. But there is no express command to tithe in the church, for the church in the New Testament. Paul teaches grace giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, which really goes beyond the tithe, if you will. Many Christians feel like that if the Old Testament saints were required to give a tithe and as part of the Old Covenant, then as New Covenant Christians, we as New Testament Christians should really just use that as a starting point in terms of our giving. God doesn't use the word give when it comes to tithing. He says bring. Look at the reading from Malachi. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So God promises blessing as we follow His guidance to tithe and to give to Him a portion of that which He has given to us. But the reality is you can't give what's not yours. You can't give what's not yours. We're to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Now the New Testament storehouse is the church, the assembly of the saints. And when we rob God, we're also robbing ourselves. We're robbing ourselves of spiritual blessings that come along with obedience and faithful giving. But even more, the money that rightfully belongs to God, that we keep for ourselves, it never really stays with us. It ends up going to the doctor or to the auto body shop or to the department store. If we don't trust God to care for us, whatever we do trust will prove futile. People who lovingly give tithes and offerings to God find that whatever is left over goes much farther and brings greater blessing. Bringing tithes and offerings is an act of faith, and God always blesses faith. He doesn't bless the giving, He blesses the attitude with which we give. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when he says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We give because we love God and because we want to obey Him. We also give because of all that God has provided for us, all that God has blessed us with in our lives. When we lay up treasures in heaven, they pay rich dividends, not only now, but also into eternity. One time a skeptic asked a priest, I can't stand this Christianity business. All I ever hear you Christians say is give, give, give. The priest thought for a moment and he said, you know, that's one of the best descriptions of Christianity I've ever heard. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. God is a giving God, and if we are His followers, we're to be giving people. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have provided so much for us, that You have given us the ability to have the things that we have and to get the things that we get. Lord, we also thank You that all we have really belongs to You, but You've given us the grace to be able to keep a portion of it for ourselves. But You also ask that we would give a portion of it back to You and the work of Your kingdom. Lord, I pray that You would speak to the hearts of all those who are Your faithful people to do that which You have inspired them to do, for continuing on the ministry of expanding Your kingdom and helping us to do the work of the church. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.